Good to be with you, Grace Point Church, to worship the Lord today, to fellowship, to allow God to bless us, speak to us, and most of all, to allow us to respond to what God is going to do among us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Would you pray with me, please? God, there are times we feel like Habakkuk did, when the things we depend on, the things we need, circumstances, relationships change, and it affects us. But for now, God, we want to say, acknowledging all of that, we say, that we will still praise you and bless you and show our love to you. So we give you this time. May we worship you deeply in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, in our souls. And as you speak to us, may we respond in a way that you would like us to do so. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to read a psalm. You can follow along, the verses should be there on the screen. It's a psalm we're going to look at today. Psalm 25. All verses 1 through 22. Listen to what the psalm writer said. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in his way that he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. Have you ever noticed that many times in life, where there's an up, there's also a down? And where there's a down, there is an up. Think about a roller coaster. You start down and you go up. Why? I'll never know. Because after you're up, you go down. And after you're down for a while, you go back up. If you've ever flown in an airplane, there's an up and eventually a nice slow descent down. How about elevators? You go up and come down. How about a merry-go-round? You may start down on the tiger, maybe you start up on the giraffe, but all the ride you're doing what? Up and down. All of these things and more have something in common. Where there's one up, you can anticipate the other down. When you see or experience one, you know that the other one's coming eventually. It's kind of like the tides. We know a lot about tides living here in Charleston. Every 12 hours and 25 minutes, the tides ebb and then they flow. The moon waxes and wanes. There's that moment after the tide comes in when it's going to go back out. Sometimes we live in a position of up. Sometimes we live in the other position of down. There are some days that are bright, some days that are heavy with clouds. There are days that are sweet, some that are bitter. And Psalm 25 that we just read describes this. So I want to share this message with you this morning called Living Between the Ups and Downs of Life. You have it outlined there in your bulletin. Follow along with us. So I want to talk about the first up. The psalm writer says, restore my soul. In verse 1, he said, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. The psalmist is conscious that he has a soul, that there is an I inside of I, there's a me inside of me, there's a you inside of you. We are more than just a blob or protoplasm or chemicals and calcium and water. We are people that God has given a soul to. The psalmist speaks of this often in Psalm 42, verse 11. He says, where are you cast down within me, O my soul? Psalm 23, he says, restore my soul. The psalmist talks about lifting things up to God. In Psalm 28, he says, I lift up my hands to you. Some of us do that when we worship. We lift up our hands to God. And here the psalmist becomes a soul surgeon, and he says, I lift up my soul to you, God, because I need it to be filled again. Folks, you know from life experience that life can take a toll on your soul. If I ask anyone to give a testimony of that, probably every one of us could. We've been there. Souls diminish, they digress, they decline, they can almost be demolished. When you go to sleep at night and dream nightmares, sometimes it can diminish your soul. When you go downstairs and there's a pile of bills sitting on your table and you wonder, how am I going to pay for all these? It takes a hit on your soul. You read the paper, watch the morning news, listen to the news, pull up news stations on your computer or your smartphone, and after you've read through them, it can take a toll on your soul, and it can become diminished. Think about things that we inflate. Balloons, toy rafts for the pool, even an inflatable church. I'm not kidding. There is a website called inflatablechurch.com. And for $2,000 to $6,000, you can buy your own church and inflate it. Everything that can be inflated, however, can also be deflated. Our souls can get deflated. That's why David says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." Because we cannot restore our own soul. No one else can restore your soul. Only God can do that. So let me encourage you, every morning of every day, that you lift up your soul to God and you say, "God, it's a new day. Restore my soul." So the first up is restore. That's good. God can restore our souls. We need it. The first down is that we are surrounded by our enemies. First up, "God, restore my soul." First down, I'm surrounded by my enemies. In verse 2, he said, "Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." Even as David lifts up his soul for God to restore it, he's aware of his enemies. He says, "God, I need you to restore my soul up." David is very aware that his enemies are close by, down. In verse 15, he says this, "For he shall pluck my feet out of the net." David's enemies are laying traps for him. He asked God to pluck him out of the net because some of his enemies apparently wrapped him up in the net. In verse 19, he puts this down, "Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred." The psalmist is saying that his enemies are trying to publicly humiliate him. David had some haters. Yeah, he did. Have you ever had any haters? I've had some. You believe that? Some people don't like me? Haters, people who like you for no good reason, someone who gossips about you, who wishes ill upon you or your family because they're jealous of you. Look what David said in verse 11. "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." That word "great" means beyond number. Widespread. The psalmist has slipped. He's left a track record. And maybe some of those haters pulled out their smartphones and took a video of him, and they're ready to put it out to the media on public places where we can see all this. They're trying to humiliate him. When David says, "Lord, let me not be ashamed," what he's saying is, "Lord, don't let the unbelievers around me say, 'God didn't come through for me.'" There's David, he's at church again. There's Sally, Joe, Pete, Ann, Carl. Yeah, they're at church quite a bit, but look at them now. We caught them sinning. We saw them. They're hypocrites. Folks, when people call you a hypocrite, just agree with them, because you are, and so is I. We fail sometimes. We don't want to. We don't mean to. Even the best of the best, the most saintly person you could ever imagine, at some point acted hypocritically. Just remember, folks, the church is not a hotel for saints, but a hospital for sinners. When we realize this and let our walls down and become real and share with others the victory in Christ and our struggles with temptation and sin, when we don't judge others when they come through our doors, when we invite others to come to church and we love them and accept them unconditionally, just as God does for us through His Son Jesus, then and only then will God's kingdom take off in and through our church. I mean, think about it. Why did God leave us here after we were saved? Why didn't He just take us on to heaven? Just like the disciples were sent out to grow God's kingdom, so we were left here for the same reason. We should never be fully comfortable as long as we know there are more people, more souls, who need to be saved and restored and loved and forgiven. The psalmist lived in the up, I lift up my soul, and he lived in the down, my enemies surround me. A popular sermon illustration centers around a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. Who names their kid Horatio? Parents should have been punished. Horatio Spafford was a lawyer in Chicago, and in 1871, he lost everything he had in a great fire. In 1873, he sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to England, and out in the middle of the Atlantic, the ship collided with another ship, and it sank in 12 minutes, and Horatio lost his four daughters. His wife alone was saved. And it was that circumstance that led him to write that great hymn, "It Is Well with My Soul." But that's only part of the story. For most of the rest of his life, he was surrounded by haters. They said there must be something wrong with Horatio if he lost everything in the fire, and then he lost his four daughters. Then he had another child whom he named Horatio and lost him to scarlet fever. And then even more people in his own church began to say, I wonder what's wrong with him. What secret sins is he hiding from us? Something must be wrong. This doesn't happen to anybody. It must be his problem. Up, I lift up my soul to God. Down, surrounded by my enemy. Let's talk about the second up. The second up, we need to become God's waiter. We need to become God's waiter. In verse 3, it says this, indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Folks, the best thing to do with God's haters is to become one of God's waiters. Now, I don't know how you are, but most people, when something bad happens, when they have a hater press them or start talking about them or influence their lives negatively, most people want to jump back. Most people want to defend themselves immediately. Most people want to say, I can handle this. I can handle this. But the best thing to do with God's haters is to become one of God's waiters. You may be thinking, hey, you don't know how bad my haters are. I bet I do. I've had some haters in my life. The worst haters I've ever had were church people. Go figure. Go figure. I've also had some of the most loving in church too. Not everybody's a hater. Some of them are. Some of your biggest haters might come from insecure people who are hurting and angry, who lash out at everything and everyone. And the psalmist says, let no one who waits on you, God, be ashamed. Some people think that waiting on God is kind of wimpy. Remember that old trash can or trash bag song or wimpy, wimpy, wimpy? Do you remember that? That goes back a few decades. Look it up on YouTube. But that's not what waiting means here. Waiting means keeping your eye on God because God is going to act. It's the waiting of a guard outside of the gates watching over the troops. It's the waiting of a mother watching over a sick child all night. It's the waiting of the farmer praying for rains so the crops won't die. It's the waiting for families of firefighters as they pray for their husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, sons, or daughters will come home safely. It's active waiting. The psalmist is talking about believers who realize there are haters, but who choose to be God's waiters, who say, I'm not going to take matters into my own hands. I'm going to look to God and wait for Him to act. Being a waiter means I'm going to keep my eyes on God while God keeps His eyes on me and my haters. Why? Because we can't watch our enemies close enough, folks. We can't. So keep your eyes on God and let God catch the enemy and deal with them in His way. You ever seen, remember reading in the Bible some of the ways God takes care of haters? He's pretty creative. Wait on Him. He always has the best ways to deal with your haters. So the second up, we become God's waiter. The second down is remembering your sin. I know we're not supposed to remember our sin. God doesn't. But the fact is we do. It's one of the ways the enemy uses to defeat us every day. Hey, Kevin, remember that time when you fill in the blank? Look at verse 11. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. In the Hebrew language, that phrase, pardon my iniquity, for it is great, means this. My twistedness is widespread behind me. My sin, my sinfulness, my twistedness is widespread behind me. The psalmist is waiting on God, but he says, I've got widespread sin all around me. There's an app you can get for your phone called Around Me. When you turn it on, it comes up and it just shows you everything that's around you. If the psalmist had that app and opened it, there'd be sin everywhere. That's what he's saying. Now, lest we look down on this psalm writer, David, we had that app, and we opened it up, guess what? There'd be sin everywhere with us too. The psalmist is living between the up, I lift up my soul, and the down. I'm surrounded by my enemies. Look at verse 7. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. The sins of my youth. It refers to young adulthood. The psalmist is in old age now. In the middle of the night, he recalls his past sins. As he thinks of lifting up his soul, he remembers his transgressions. Now, folks, that can be depressing. That can be discouraging. That can become a downer for us. And this down needs an up. So the third up is God's forgiveness. In verse 6, the psalmist asks God to remember God's own resume, God's own job description, God's own biography. In verse 6, he says, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old." The connotation here in the Hebrew language comes from the word that means womb. The psalmist is saying, just as a mother gazes at her child which is in the womb, so God, you remember me. At your heart, Lord, you feel about me what a mother feels about her child. Folks, aren't you glad that God is a God of tender mercy? Tender mercy. You've probably experienced that tough mercy. I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. And I'm going to remind you of your sin often. Thank God for his tender mercy, his kindnesses. And then the psalmist references the covenant that God made with his people. He says, "For they are from old." It's as if the psalmist is saying, God, I've seen your autobiography. You are a covenant-keeping God, and I'm asking you that you forgive me and treat me with grace because you are full of tender mercies and loving kindness. The psalmist is saying, just as you remember Adam and Eve, you put them in a garden, you told them that it was all theirs, and you put one restriction on it, and they broke it. Yet you killed an animal, clothed them, and you remembered them. God, remember me. God hears Abram. You called him out of Ur, the father of all those who have faith. And yet when he got down to Egypt, and Pharaoh cast his eye on his wife, Sarah, and put her in his harem, Abraham lied and said, she's my sister. But then, God, you let him come back to Bethel. You took him back to the house of God. God, as you did for Abraham, remember me. God, there's Rahab. Not only was she not a Jew, she was a Canaanite prostitute. And when the Hebrew spies came to her, she believed in you and wound up in Hebrews chapter 11, the roll call of faith. What the psalmist was saying was, God, if you can remember a Canaanite prostitute, please remember me. And then there's David. Had an affair with Bathsheba, committed murder to cover it up. Yet after genuine repentance, God forgave him. And David is saying, God, look at what you've done in the past. Please don't remember my sins, but remember me. Look at verse 11. David says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon me. Lord, I'm not asking you to do something that you haven't done hundreds, thousands of times before. I don't deserve it any more than any other person you've forgiven. For your name's sake, pardon and forgive me. This tiny, fragile, sinful, mortal, failing creature living between the ups and the downs of life needs forgiveness, God. So when I'm lonely, remember me. When I suffer through health issues day and night, remember me. When I shake in the process of being tempted to sin again and again and again, remember me. When I wonder how I'm going to be able to pay my bills, remember me. When I'm waiting for the doctor to come and talk about the seriousness of my problem, God, remember me. When I have to bury my spouse, my sibling, my parent, my child, God, remember me. when you think of God's ultimate, full, and gracious forgiveness, there is no down. Nothing can bring down the forgiveness that Jesus bought for us with his life, with his blood on the cross, when he died in our place. Nothing. So we're going to end up with another up. The ultimate up is Jesus' resurrection. Jesus was born up. Jesus was put on Herod's hit list to be killed as a baby down. God entered humanity through Jesus up. He was discredited by the religious leaders of the day down. Jesus showed compassion to all people, some caught in the very act of sin, up. Jesus was shown no compassion, but rather was killed and put into a grave, down. Jesus was resurrected, defeating death once and for all. Folks, that is the ultimate up. And that up never ends. It is good news. Good news. It is there that we should live between the ups and the downs of life. We live in the victory of the resurrection of a living Savior. That's what gives us hope. Folks, God will remember you, give you grace and love and encouragement and conviction to live every day between the ups and the downs. So what is your up right now? I wonder if we opened it up for testimony, if some of you could think of an up in your life right now. How's God blessed you and it's just brought you? I wonder what that would be for you. And I wonder, some of you may be in the down. And I'd want to know that too, because we all have that. Those people that walk around smiling, whistling all the time, good folks, but they got some downs. I guarantee it. God, remember me. Lift me up. Help me to live, God, between the ups and downs. Maybe this morning might be time for you to give one of your downs to God and say, God, I've been down enough. I need some help here. I need you to take this away. I need you to fix it. My haters are all after me. I need you to fix it, God. Maybe it might be time for you just to say, God, all I want to do is bless you and praise you and thank you because you've given me some ups. God, help me to live in the in-between time. Would you pray with me, please? God, I want to thank you for people like David who could write Psalms and make them so relevant to us in our lives today, thousands of years after he lived. God, we thank you for life. A lot of times life is good and we enjoy it and we're glad. I can only imagine how it was for Adam and Eve when they were living in the up. Perfect environment, perfect fellowship with you. What a wonderful time. But God, we can't stay in the ups because we live in a broken world, and so sometimes we live in the downs. many times in between. God, restore our soul. Forgive us the times we still fail. Intercede for us when the haters are trying to make our lives miserable. And help us always to remember that the greatest up was when you brought your son back to life. The resurrection gives us a hope forever. Sometimes, God, we just need to be reminded of that. Now, Lord, during our response time, I pray, whether folks stay in their seat, they walk around, they go to the cross, whatever it is, I pray that you would use this message to help us understand where we are right now, up or down, in between, and Lord, what you want to do with us and for us and through us in that situation. So bless our time of response. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tuesday night, youth are scheduled to meet down at Folly Beach Baptist in their fellowship hall. Their air conditioning is out. That means we're meeting right here, okay, in the fellowship hall. And so that's Tuesday night, 6:30. Also, there's the class going on for the young moms class that Rachel teaches. And also in your bulletin, you'll find the Art of Marriage class that's coming up. Check that out as well. Prayer request. Coming back, I guess, or riding around, and last couple days, Charles and Irene and Sam were in a car accident. They're okay, and that's the important thing. I'm sure the car's banged up and all that, so that's why they're not here this morning, kind of recovering. So we want to remember them in our prayers and as we go through. All right? So, Jason, any final words there? I looked it up, Kevin. You know what that commercial... Now, see, your messages hit me hard. I'm thinking about wimpy, wimpy, wimpy the whole time, man. You know, it's a hefty trash bag. Yeah. Hefty, hefty, hefty. Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. That's what I'm going to take with me, folks, you know, so... God is hefty. Just remember that. Yes. He's going to lift us up. There you go. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for the message today. We thank you for the ultimate up when you rose from the grave, that resurrection that gives us strength in our lowest moment that we can turn to you. Lord, we thank you for the joy that we feel in this room, the excitement in your spirit that lifts us up. Help us take that with us wherever we go. Invite folks to come back and be with us each and every Sunday. We love you and thank you now. We pray it in Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen.